Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio. And once again, joining me over the phone is the mayor of the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo, Don Scott. Don, how are you doing today?
I'm hanging in there. I know that everybody's going through a lot of challenges, but I hope everyone else is looking forward to the future. We're going to get through all the challenges that we're facing, as we always do.
I think that's definitely an understatement. We're all looking forward to a time where COVID-19 is just no longer. And, you know, hopefully there is that light at the end of the tunnel. So, Don, we had to talk more about COVID-19. And I know you've been on our show multiple times over the last week about this, but we just keep getting different updates. And we had new measures announced, province-wide measures announced yesterday by the government of Alberta. Just going off a few of them. You know, just limiting outdoor gatherings, people who can go to places of worship, retail services in their capacity. I know that starting on Sunday, restaurants must close in-person dining, which includes patio service. So I know that's unfortunate for our, you know, our restaurant, bar, and cafe sector here in town. But I'm curious what your thoughts. Do you think these measures are needed right now, especially up here, as it is very common knowledge, just, you know, how bad, or I guess, you know, just how bad, I guess, COVID is impacting the region right now?
Yeah, there was something that I thought was missing from the announcement yesterday, and that was more support for business. And what I mean by that is more help for business. The provincial government has the financial capacity to help businesses out when they are facing difficult economic times. And it's not the fault of the businesses in our region or anywhere in Alberta that they're facing a lot of the challenges that they are when decisions of government impact them. And these are decisions of the provincial government. So I think what you're going to see, and what I hope you'll see, and what I'm certainly going to be asking for, is for more of an effort to be put in to not only to, you know, they've made a decision in one direction, but they need to make sure that all the businesses in our region are getting all the help that they can give them. And there's so many different kinds of businesses that are affected that I think they're going to have to really take a hard look and make sure that they're giving financial supports. Otherwise, you know, I'm very concerned about how many businesses are going to be there to reopen when all these things, when we get through the pandemic. And I want every business to reopen. So let's make sure we support local as much as we can, everybody.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And we know that the premier was asked that question earlier today, and, you know, he kept highlighting the enterprise relaunch grant that the province has brought in, and that they are bringing in their third wave of funding for those impacted by COVID-19. Do you think that this is enough, or do you want to see more in support for these businesses?
I think there's got to be more. I think when I talk to business leaders in the community and people who own businesses, businesses are really struggling right now. There are some businesses who are doing really well, but a lot of the businesses who were impacted by these restrictions, you know, a lot of them didn't anticipate having the last 12 months as they have. And once again, it was a decision of government that, you know, that's put a lot of businesses in these situations. So I would add my voice to the many calling for more support for small businesses in our region to help them through this period. We want to make sure that as many entrepreneurs as possible, as many businesses and many services survive and so they can thrive later. You know, one thing I've always struggled with is I see that when there's a lot of talk about supporting local business, and we need a lot more action. And I would encourage everybody to shop local as much as you possibly can. Our local businesses are really struggling right now. If you're debating whether to, you know, buy something or to do something, if you can get that locally, please do. The businesses in this town support employees. They support your friends and neighbors. So let's support them.
Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Don, but it sounds like if the province brings in more supports for businesses, that these measures that they brought in, this is something that you support, as long as these supports come in for those who are really impacted by the measures.
I think it depends on what they do, but I can say this. The people I speak to, there's no consensus in the community as to what the path forward should be. And what I've always said is we do not have the information as a local government. A lot of people think that we have all this information that the provincial government and all these health authorities are giving us. And one thing I said before yesterday's council meeting, in the last 12 months, the only way that I was able to find out how many people were in the hospital is either I'd hear about it from somebody in the community, or if I was lucky, I would be able to hear about it from someone who's a leader at the hospital. The provincial government and the health authorities of our province have not been great at giving us health information. And the one thing that they have not done is they have not told our local government or me what is driving the numbers in this region. So I have no idea whether what they put into effect yesterday is going to have the results that they want, because they've been all over the place in saying what's causing the COVID numbers in our province, and they've never told me what specifically is causing the COVID numbers in our region. And without that information, I feel like we're just throwing darts at a dartboard. It's tough to suggest measures to curb spread when you don't know exactly what is happening to cause the issue. Mm-hmm. And I've heard a lot of different issues, like things suggested that it could be, but I've never heard definitively with any scientific understanding that this is what's causing it and this is the solution that's going to work. So, I'm hoping that at least the premier or whoever's making decisions, Dr. Hinshaw, they should be gathering that information. In a perfect world, they'd be giving it to us. Now, I got to say, yesterday, and since I've been complaining with my council colleagues, we are starting to get information now. So we did get a little bit of information, and that was relayed yesterday at the council meeting. But it's been a real challenge getting information.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Sure.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. And before the break, we are talking about the latest measures that the province has introduced to help combat the recent surge in COVID-19 cases. And the mayor also expressed his desire to see more supports for local businesses and just businesses across the province in general who are impacted by these latest measures. Sticking with COVID-19, Mayor Scott, and we got an update at your council meeting yesterday from the Chief Administrative Officer, Jamie Doyle, who was told, I guess, directly from AHS that they do have a lot of people being treated at the Northern Lights Regional Health Center, a lot of which are in the ICU. Do you have exact numbers and just what kind of impact right now the hospital is dealing with?
So the numbers that we have, and as I said earlier, this is the first time we've actually been able to announce numbers at a council meeting because we've had a hard time getting the information. But the information is starting to come our way after a year. We have 38 hospitalizations and 11 patients in the ICU. And the phrase that the hospital leadership has used with me is that they are busy but managing.
Okay, so that phrase is definitely a little bit more reassuring. At the same time, the fact that they're busy is definitely, you know, we understand that the health, our health professionals are going through so much over the past 15 months, and they definitely need, you know, a round of applause for all the work they're doing. But we know that, I believe it's 11 individuals that are being treated in the ICU, and hopefully those individuals can recover as soon as possible. But I know that on a regular day without COVID, the ICU capacity is at 7. So is it still not worrying that we've had to increase by 4 beds? And with our numbers going up, you know, there's still the possibility that that number is going to have to keep increasing.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about this. We definitely need to take this issue seriously. That's why, as a council, we declared a state of emergency. They give me a mandate. I'm deeply thankful to all the healthcare workers in the region. And I believe we as a community, we as a region have a responsibility to protect the healthcare system and all those who are connected to it, including our doctors and nurses. And that's why I've been fighting so hard to get more vaccines for this region. If you want a vaccine, I want to make sure that it's available to you. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I can say that the provincial government has listened on is that issue. We are getting more vaccines, and they've expanded eligibility, especially for our region. So there is a lot more eligibility now. So please go get a vaccine if you want one. It's important that you do that. It's important for the entire community. I've seen in other countries the path forward to normalization, and I want it as much as anybody. We all miss the things that we used to do. And I'm right there with you. Let's please get a vaccine, and let's get moving towards normalization. We all want it desperately, and I'm right there. If there's one phrase to, I think, summarize how I've been feeling recently, and I think it's felt by many, is we're all completely sick of this. We're all completely fed up. But we need to still look after those who are looking after us. So let's all do our part, take this seriously, follow the measures, get the vaccine, please, and then that's going to be the path where we get the economy rolling again, and then we're not thinking about this every day and every minute. Mm-hmm.
Do want to mention, too, that the province did announce today that starting on Monday, those born in 2009 and earlier can start getting their vaccine. This after Health Canada did authorize the Pfizer vaccine for those who are between the ages of 12 and 15. So starting Monday, those individuals will be able to get the vaccine. Mayor Scott, have we heard anything about a potential field hospital? We do know what you said, that you've heard that the hospital is busy but managing right now, but we keep seeing our numbers increase. Has there been any talks about potentially setting a field hospital up if things keep getting worse?
Okay, so there's two different types of approaches that I've heard advocated. One is potentially with the Army. And what other provinces have done is when they've requested the Army has sent in doctors and nurses and potentially a field hospital and everything that goes with it to make sure it operates. And my understanding is that the federal government has indicated a willingness to do that. And what it would take to trigger that, though, is a request by our premier who has not done that. And I suspect the reason he has not is because, you know, our hospitals indicated they're still managing. Then the second type of field hospital that I've heard described is some of our Indigenous communities are proposing to set up a field hospital, not only for their own Indigenous community, but for everyone. And once again, they have to go through the provincial government system in order to achieve all that. And I see no issues myself with getting all the help we can in this region, but I know the provincial government needs to sort through it all, and they're probably figuring out the best approach to everything. And they've got the modeling that'll tell us if it's justified, and I've never seen that modeling locally. I do not know what our numbers are going to be. It seems like the numbers are going to get a little bit worse before they get better. That's certainly what's been suggested to me, but I've not seen the modeling to demonstrate it. Mm-hmm. But if the numbers justify it, if the provincial government has the numbers that justify these things, then I think it's important that they do it. But if they think they can manage without it, and that, you know, we're not putting our healthcare workers at risk or anyone else, then I think, you know, it's they've got to make decisions based on the best information, which is something our municipal government does not have. But we want to make sure that the best is done for our residents. You know, the key to everyone getting back to a normal life and a strong economy is to get through this. And I really do believe that in order to get back to normal, we need to tackle this virus. Mm-hmm. So please do your part, everybody, no matter what it is. Let's get through this.
All right. Well, before we take our last break, just one last COVID-19 topic. And we've heard from the province that they want to really start cracking down on handout fines and really crack down on those who are, you know, blatantly not following the health orders. I know in the past that you have been saying that you want an education approach, educational approach first. However, with the region going through what it looks like potentially the worst in Canada right now when it comes to spread of the virus, has your views changed? Do you think it's time that we really start seeing fines handed out, you know, to show that there is a repercussion for those who don't follow the rules?
I guess the one thing that I'm not seeing, and maybe others are, is I'm not seeing people blatantly not following the rules. You know, when I'm out driving around or doing whatever, as other community members are, the majority of residents I'm seeing are following the rules. At the same time, you know, if someone's speeding through a school zone, I think there comes a time that education doesn't work and you need to take steps. But I obviously prefer education, but not at the risk of people's health. So I think, you know, I have faith in our RCMP and those that are dealing with this issue, but I'm not seeing the blatant disregard for the rules. And if you are, I mean, please report it. I think that's something that's important for the authorities to know. And I think that ties back to what I've always been saying, is we've never seen the modeling for what's causing this and where we're going because of it. But I think we all need to protect each other and protect our healthcare workers. So, you know, please encourage others to follow the rules if you see them not following it.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to finish our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott, and so far we've been talking about COVID-19, and Don, there's a few more topics I was hoping to chat with you about, and we're running out of time, so I'm bringing back an old favorite, and when I say favorite, this is definitely just my favorite. I'm sure many people didn't like it, but we're bringing back the lightning round. I just have a few topics. Instead of, you know, your usual answers, it's a nice short snippet, just so people can get a little bit of information on it. Let's start off with River Breakup. What's going on there? Have we actually declared River Breakup yet?
No, risk is low, but we're well prepared, but still be vigilant, everybody.
All right. And at your council meeting that was held yesterday, allocating up to $34,000 for two signs on Highway 63, Highway 881, acknowledging Treaty 8 and unceded Métis territory. Your thoughts on this? Is this a good idea?
Yeah, it's the right thing to do. It's, you know, part of the obligations we have for truth and reconciliation, and we're going to keep on taking measures just like that.
We also got an update on planned egress roads for Anzac and Janvier. They will be used as a secondary route in the case of emergency, much like what happened back in 2016. I've been noticing that construction isn't slated to start till, I believe, 2023. Correct me if I'm wrong there, but is there any concern that, you know, the timeline that this isn't happening right now and there could be emergency in between then?
You know, we've asked administration to do these things as quickly as possible, but it's part of the lessons learned, and we're still trying to acquire land and deal with other issues related to it, but as soon as we can get it done, we want to get it done.
And last question for you, Don, but have you made a decision on whether you're going to run in this year's municipal election?
Not yet, but when I do, I'll certainly be coming and making a loud, clear announcement.
All right. Well, Don, as always, we appreciate every time you take a couple minutes to come on the show.
Okay, take care. Stay safe, everybody.
If you're looking for more information about any of the COVID-19 measures that we've discussed on today's show, all you have to do is head to the Mixed News page. And a reminder that anyone who's 18 years and older can get their vaccine right now by either going to the walk-in clinic at McDonald Island Park, which is open until 9 p.m. today, or by setting up an appointment through the HealthLink 811. Now, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at Mix1037FM.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.